The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by ZipRecruiter. Picking somebody featured on virtually every do not draft list? Not smart. Using ZipRecruiter to find qualified candidates fast? That's smart. ZipRecruiter finds people with the right skills and experience for your job, then actively invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
Welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. My name is Phil Yates alongside my best friends, Matt DeBerry and Stefan Yabel. How are you?
I'm fine.
You laughed when I said best friends.
Yeah, I did.
Does that mean you don't believe it to be true?
I was, to be honest, surprised to find you got included in that. Obviously, you and I are
going to say best friends.
BFFs forever.
Right.
BFFs forever. Yeah. But, yeah, I was surprised to know that Stefania was in there.
I'm inclusive, you know?
Fair enough.
He is. Unlike you, trying to box me out. All your fashion choices, Field, and I notice your nice shirt when you come in.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, collared greens, because it's a brand Field wears.
We love our friends at Collared Greens.
I love your friends at Collared Greens, but I'm just saying, like, everything you are trying to be Field. You're trying to get the Instagram, the fashion. You want him to be like your sole best friend. You don't want to share.
That's right.
And Field, because he's a nice and decent and generous soul, wants to include me part of the best friends.
It is. I'll be honest. You pointed out a real dichotomy and issue for me, Stefania, is because in trying to be like Field and keep him to myself, it boxed me up. But if I'm going to be like Field, I need to be nice and inclusive. So it's a real push-pull. And I think where I sided on it was just to sort of box you out. Because let's be honest. I've known you for a long time.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
Another date between my wife and work wife, Stefania, over here.
I saw that. Made some ripples on the Instagram. Notice how Matthew's best pictures typically are those that don't include him. And actually,
that's true.
Stefania and his wife.
That's actually correct.
But it's true. Yeah. It's funny because it's true. I 100%, like, I didn't want to take a picture of me there. Absolutely. No.
Nice time, Stefania?
Oh, always. When Beth is around, you know, it's always a nice time. I mean, Matthew was there too, but since he's boxing me
technically out. Technically, he was there. Right.
I was there.
I was there on Saturday night. He was present, but yeah.
But I was the third wheel. Right. Make no mistake. I was the third wheel between my wife and
Stefania.
It's a role
you play very well.
I appreciate that.
13 games to recap. Yeah. 12 games to recap, excuse me, including the one on Thursday night where the Packers fell short against the Seattle Seahawks. 27-24 was the story there. Actually, Aaron Jones was the story there for the Packers. 27.3 points, 2 touchdowns. That was great news. He has been freed, but a fellow teammate.
You're welcome, America.
You're welcome, America. That's right.
Freed him. I just pointed this out real quickly. You don't have to point out calls I get wrong because there's tons of calls I get wrong. I fully cop to that, right? But in April, my friend Scott Barrett, found this tweet. I had completely forgotten about it. Found this tweet and retweeted it. Scott Barrett, who by the way is a great follow on Twitter himself. But, in April, this past April, I had tweeted, our friend Evan Silva had tweeted something about the Packers backfield and that there was going to be an interesting thing shaping up. And I had quote tweeted Evan and said, for what it's worth, a Packers team source that I trust tells me that by midseason, Aaron Jones will be the running back you want. April. But the hilarious part is if you go and you can find this tweet, reading all the responses underneath my tweet is high comedy. Hindsight, of course, being 2020, but, just suffice it to say, no one agreed with that take in April, and they were very angry about it.
Things have changed, as too has the outlook on Marquez Valdes-Scantling, because people are upset. Now, if I told you this, and reminder, processed over results is typically how we evaluate our own calls here in fantasy football. If I told you he's going to play every single snap except for one on Thursday night, seriously, every single snap except for one fewer than Devontae Adams, he's an every down player, you'd say, all right, I like my chances to have a reasonable day with Marquez Valdes-Scantling with Aaron Rodgers throwing the football. Well, the answer was he got one catch for 8 yards. 3 targets. If you want to ask me what went wrong, I tell you, I don't have a reason for it. Like, well, sometimes the ball just doesn't go your way.
I do a little bit. And we talked about it on the show. I mean, if you go back and listen to our Thursday preview show, we talked about the fact, look, we didn't expect this. We didn't expect the goose egg that he put up, or, you know, whatever,
one catch for
8 yards. We didn't expect that. But we did say that with Randall Cobb out, he would move into the slot, that the Seahawks have been, very good against the slot, that, you know, that he was sort of big play dependent, and that I think coming into this game, Kyle, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I believe coming into this game, the Seahawks were one of only two teams that had not allowed a slot touchdown this year. They've played very good against that position. So we talked about that, that we thought MVS was kind of a risky wide receiver three. Again, didn't expect 1.8 points, but we did expect some lower production because he was going to have to move inside with Cobb out, and St. Brown we knew would move to the outside.
We'll see how long Randall Cobb remains out, but it looks like he's not the only pass catcher that's banged up, as Jimmy Graham left this game with a thumb issue, Stefania.
Yeah, it looked like he got his thumb caught in a face mask. I mean, so many hand and finger injuries are like fingers getting stuck in parts of the face mask or in the jersey. It sounds like he has a broken thumb. And the Packers haven't really come forward to say much about how it will be managed, but you can expect him to miss time. And the thing is, even if Jimmy Graham were to be at a point where he might play in a cast or some kind of modified splint, that's not going to help him as a pass catcher.
Right.
So I think for fantasy purposes, it's time to move on.
Six By the way, Thirsty left. Kyle throws a note up. I'm correct on my Seattle slot stat. They are one of only teams not to allow a slot touchdown. Worth noting, if Randall Cobb were to miss next week again, we would expect MVS to be in the slot, and we would expect better results again because the Vikings have struggled against the slot so far this year. So better days are ahead for MVS. Again, getting a bunch of snaps on the field with Aaron Rodgers, one of those games.
Going into this game, we said the most difficult part for Seattle to size up was the running backs. Chris Carson, we thought, was like an RB2, right?
Yep.
And then we thought Mike Davis was like maybe a flex play. And then we thought that, hey, you know something, for Rashad Penny, it's probably hard to trust him actually being utilized in your lineup. Well, I'm looking through the scoring from this past weekend, and Chris Carson is like RB20 on the weekend. Mike Davis is like RB30. Rashad Penny was like RB42.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying, right, you know, like about where you expected them, but the good news was Chris Carson, to the eye test, Stefania, looked like a player that was fully recovered from that hip issue.
Yeah, he did. He looked like he was running hard. There was no evidence of any setback. From what you could tell, these are always the games where you go, okay, he got through the game and he looked like he was running strong. Now I want to hear how he felt after the game. Obviously, we won't get that until this week, but I'm assuming it's all systems go for him.
I think that as long as that is the case, him being healthy and others being healthy, that our outlook for right now going into the same week against Carolina will be about the same. Carson's the one you want to start.
100%.
Davis is the one that still has the most passing game value. And Rashad Penny is a big play waiting to happen. He did have a nice long run in this game, but still.
He got banged up, though, in this
one.
Didn't he? I thought Rashad Penny got banged up a little bit in this game. Am I making something up in my mind?
He returned.
Yeah, right.
Remember,
okay, that's
he left for a moment. He came
right,
back.
Okay.
I'm not sure if he ended up leaving for good, though. I didn't think so.
Right. Yeah. But I knew he had gotten a little bit banged up, but you wonder if maybe that had something to do with it, because he was running well.
Yeah, early in the game, I remember him walking off. It looked like he was hurt, actually, but he came back.
So I would just say this, is that provided he is healthy for this week, our outlook is probably going to be the same. Doug Baldwin said he was healthy last week, Stefania, and it looked like a player that has a very good sense of medical self.
Yeah, Doug Baldwin's a smart guy. Stanford grad, you know, he's always been very forthcoming. I think at the start of the season, when he talked about his knee issue and said, look, this is something that I'm going to have to manage, that he was being 100% forthright about that. And that's why we thought the knee injuries could be something he would have to deal with all season. And then he said at the start of this past week that he finally woke up for the first time without pain. He talked about how much better he felt and how much of an impact it had had on him. And we talked about this late in the week on the podcast. If this is really true, when you're playing in pain every single day, that's going to shape. It's the nuances of that will impact what you can do on the field. I thought he looked like a different player.
He did, and not only did he look like a different player, but there were points left on the field, not by him. There was a
wide open touchdown.
Russell Wilson makes that throw 99
out
of 100 times. He made it 100 out of 100 times. Just wasn't his opportunity on Thursday night. We feel better about Doug Baldwin. We think he has a chance to be a, you know, top 25 wide receiver going forward. The Bengals and the Ravens ended up being one of the stories of the weekend because it was Lamar Jackson's NFL debut as a starter. Let's start with the Bengals, though. They fall 24-21 in this game. And when A.J. Green got hurt, our takeaway was like, yeah, other players are going to have to step up, but it doesn't mean that Tyler Boyd just catapults into like, you know, top 10 wide receiver range. And that's been the case since two games that AJ Green has missed. He's been fine. Three catches a week ago and four yesterday on 11 targets. You like that, but like, he is what he is, right? I just don't think he's talented enough. And heck, it's hard to make slot receivers your number one passing game option just in general in the NFL. They are more the exception than the rule when it comes to number one pass catchers. But John Ross, again yesterday, two catches, 27 yards, and a touchdown on seven targets, might have some value. Although Stefania, there's at least a, like, the door is open to AJ Green playing next week.
Right, the door is open. I think this is one of those you really have to see how the week goes on before you start getting too excited about it's automatic, because this is very much a feel thing. When you're talking about turf toe, it's how much comfort does the guy have pushing off? And you can have good days and then a not good day after that. So I'd be cautious, I guess, with any early reports of them expecting him back. I think the door is open. But until it gets to be late in the week, I'm reserving judgment on that.
You know, I'd love to see more from John Ross each week, Matthew, because I think he's such a uniquely talented guy at a 4.2 240. But until we see it, it's hard to feel super confident about him going forward. A deeper league consideration, especially if AJ Green does return on Sunday. I think that maybe the most popular question, if you were to walk around in New York City, a really busy metropolitan area this morning, Matthew, and you were asked 10 fantasy questions, I think it's possible that six of them might be about Lamar Jackson after what he did yesterday.
Sure.
I say historic in this regard, I believe, and I was able to dig up through 1999, but our friend Michael David Smith from Pro Football Talk, I think, had it all the way back to 1950, that no quarterback has had 27 rushing attempts in a single game. Lamar Jackson, 27 rushing attempts for 117 yards yesterday. Just, like, let's step back from, like just what it means going forward. Just for a second, like, what were your impressions of how he played yesterday?
I thought he played exactly what I thought he would be, which is he is an electric runner.
Yeah.
He is almost like a human video game. I mean, this, we talked about this on Fantasy Football Now. We talked about this on the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus as well, that we thought, I think I literally said on this show, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was on this show where I said, if I had to project him, I'm thinking like 150 yards passing, maybe 100 yards rushing, a touchdown and a pick or two. I literally think that's what I said. And then you look at the box score and it's basically about what he did. I mean, it's unbelievable. He did it with the exception of the touchdown.
Right.
And so we brought up, so candidly, he has work to do as a passer.
Sure. Yeah.
But he is a phenomenal athlete.
Right.
He's a human video game. And so this is sort of what we thought he would be. I mean, I brought up this point again on Fantasy Football Now when we brought this up on the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus. Tim Tebow, who is not as good a passer, or as was Lamar, not as Lamar Jackson is at this point. And Tim Tebow in 2011, when he got the majority of his starts, averaged over 18 fantasy points a game.
Right.
Was like QB6 on a points per game basis in that time frame. And so, like, we've seen this. Terrell Pryor averaged over 15 fantasy points a game when he was a starting quarterback. Again, not a guy that's a great passer.
Yep.
But the legs and, you know, mobile quarterbacks, it's one of the reasons why Cam Newton, even in years when his accuracy has been all over the place, no pun intended,
right,
he has still managed to be a fantasy superstar because the rushing just keeps your floor high. Coming into this year, Tyrod Taylor had been a top 12 fantasy quarterback over the last 3 years entirely because of the rushing. Not entirely, but in large part.
Right, yeah.
Influenced by the rushing.
Influenced by the rushing for sure. So he's interesting. We don't know how long Joe Flacco will remain out. There are early indications against Stefania that it might be through at least week 12.
Before I, can I interrupt for 1 second, Stefania, real quickly, or just keep going on this and then hear about Flacco? I think there's a chance that Lamar Jackson is your quarterback the rest of the way, regardless of Joe Flacco's health.
Interesting. Well, let's get the health update. And then, and that's also one of those stories that, like, we'll know when we find out, right? Like, what do you think, Stefania, on Joe Flacco?
Well, I think the usually reserved, you know, play it close to the vest, John Harbaugh saying after yesterday's game, it will be tough for Flacco to make it back, is about as revealing as it gets. I mean, we were kind of joking a bit when we were watching the arrivals on the show yesterday, but, you know, Joe Flacco, despite, no, he's not on crutches, he's not limping, obviously, but he's not moving great, you know, and I think that to come back and play in an NFL game if you're still limited in terms of just basic getting around, it's absolutely right. It's going to be tough for him.
Raiders, Falcons, Chiefs, Bucks coming up for whoever plays quarterback for the Ravens. So a very favorable slate.
Very favorable. But you think about where the Ravens are in this playoff race, Nate. Well, you're not in Nate Field.
I'm so used to.
I know. Sorry.
Shout out
to the old show. But no, what I was going to say here is one of two things happens. They beat the Raiders in week 12. Now they're on a two-game win streak under Lamar Jackson, whereas in the they were 0-3 in their last three under Joe Flacco. So suddenly they're back in this playoff race. Are you suddenly going to say, hey, Lamar Jackson, get back to the bench on a two-game win streak?
I would think no.
Right.
Think no.
Especially given Joe Flacco's health, especially given his contract situation.
Right, yeah.
And then the other thing that happens is they lose the Raiders. And they fall further out of this division, right? I mean, so, you know, obviously the Steelers won yesterday. So this division slowly, and the AFC is pretty competitive. There's a bunch of teams basically fighting for one wild card spot. So if they lose this game, and depending on how the rest of the schedule goes next week, they could easily be like, you know what? It's not our year.
Right.
Let's get a longer look at our first round rookie quarterback, again, with Joe Flacco being a free agent at the end of this year. So I think there is just, whichever way this all plays out, I think there is a better than average chance that Joe Flacco has played his last game as a Raven field.
This past week when Le'Veon Bell did not report to the Steelers, I suggested that Le'Veon Bell might make sense in Baltimore next season, right? They need a dynamic running back. And it was partly because what we've seen so far from the likes of obviously Alex Collins and Buck Allen, and I guess we hadn't really seen Ty Montgomery, but you get it.
Right.
And then yesterday, Gus Edwards, undrafted rookie free agent, who I think Stefania would claim he went to the U. I think the great state of New Jersey would claim he went to Rutgers. He did his graduate transfer year at Rutgers. Undrafted rookie free agent. 17 rushes, 115 yards, and he played 46 snaps compared to 17 for Collins and 13 combined for Ty Montgomery and Buck Allen. You know, it's hard to say that we've had a changing of the guard with certainty because it's only one game, but like this has potential to be a legitimate running back waiver wire ad in week 12.
I would think he is, if you don't need a quarterback, I mean, I think Lamar Jackson's probably your number one waiver wire ad, especially, you know, given that.
Spoiler, he's my fourth, and it's all explained in the column. But,
okay, please do. I would expect you to. That would be great.
Yeah.
But, interesting. But anyway, but you think about.
Yeah, when you hear the other three, you'll realize who they
okay.
are.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll get there. But, you know, again, I just want to reiterate. Oakland, Atlanta, Kansas City, Tampa Bay, the Chargers in week 16. You can run on the Chargers. We just saw Denver do it last week.
Yep.
And then Cleveland week 17 if you play on ESPN leagues where or you play in a league where the championship goes into week 17. And
sure.
So Edwards, who got his first carry on the sixth offensive snap. So it's not like something like, I mean, it feels like there was at least some sort of plan to get him involved early. Again, I don't know. It did come sort of out of nowhere, but it was impressive. And I don't know how, if you're John Harbaugh, again, you're trying to stay in this playoff race, how suddenly he goes back to the bench after what he did on Sunday. And so, yes, in a matchup with Oakland, to me, I would think he would be the number one waiver ad.
Gus Edwards.
Yes.
There's a certain Eagles running back we can talk about, too, and a Saints wide receiver we can also talk about. But, yes, Gus Edwards is right there for the number one or two ad of
Well, someone's
week.
Been talking about the Eagles running back for 2 weeks now. So I'm assuming that if you're listening to the show, you already have Josh Adams on your team because we've been talking him up.
Right.
He was my waiver ad last week. He was my every week waiver ad 2 weeks ago on Fantasy Football Now. So we've been – I've been –
That's why I said good job during the production meeting this morning.
Yeah.
I don't think you were paying attention during.
No. That's my shtick. My shtick is not to.
We need to get to multiple games here going forward, but I just will say this.
Yeah.
We are going to get further into what Lamar Jackson means on this Ravens passing game because obviously there's a fallout there yesterday. John Brown and Michael Crabtree had two catches combined for 30 yards. Obviously, when a quarterback is lower volume, and that's only 19 throws yesterday for Lamar Jackson, somebody is bound to suffer. In yesterday's case, it was both Crabtree and also Smokey Brown. Let's move forward to the Colts and the Titans. And the Colts are just freight training right now. 38-10 was the final over Tennessee, who there are a lot of wrinkles here, but the most important one, Stefania, maybe not for fantasy football, but just in general, is that Marcus Murray is banged up again.
Exactly. Ugh. And when you saw him down on the field, the camera angle, you could see him shaking out his hand, kind of flexing, open and close his fist, looking like he was trying to get the feeling back in his fingers. And we saw this earlier in the season when he had the nerve injury, the direct bruise to his elbow that resulted in the nerve injury. I've been seeing things that say right elbow injury, but honestly, when he took the hit, you saw his neck get jammed to the side. Just a reminder that these injuries can come from as high in the neck if you have something like a stinger or down low at the elbow. And nerve can be what you call sensitized. So after you have an injury, it can be easier to provoke a repeat injury of that nerve. So something to watch. Hopefully we'll get more clarity as the week goes on. But remember, this caused him to miss several games because he couldn't grip the ball well.
They play on Monday night, of course, on ESPN in Houston against the Texans. What a massive game that is. Corey Davis has a massive target share. He was number 2 in the NFL going into week 11. He had 2 catches for 30 yards on 4 targets yesterday.
And he was on the love list. Good job, Barry.
Are the Titans, not from a real football standpoint, because I really like the overall program they've got going there, but from fantasy football, are they like the Bengals adjacent? Like the minute you start to trust them, it's all of a sudden it's like
they bone you.
Well, I don't know what would a Titan do. I don't know.
What is a Joe
spear you? I don't know. What does a Titan do?
Spear you? They spear you? That's not bad.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Maybe they fork
loose?
You?
Yeah, they fork you. Whatever.
They
that'll
fork
work.
You.
Yeah,
I
sure.
think because like you know it's in Nashville and you've got good barbecue and
yeah,
you need
hot chicken.
Yeah, hot chicken.
Like shut up.
Anytime you need to explain the joke, it always makes it so much better. You know what I mean?
Thanks.
Here's
that's what
a
I figure.
Comedy yeah. lesson. From
give
Dan.
Me more comedy yeah. lessons.
Here's
me
here. More. I'm going to give you a joke and then explain to you why it's supposed to be
can
funny.
Can you do that? That would yeah, be great. Yeah. Explain to me. So what? Okay, great.
Yeah. So I would
say that would be great. More comedy lessons from Secret Squirrel. That's what I need.
But I think it's fair
that.
To say that, like, it's really hard. Like, there has been no Titan that has sustained fantasy success all season. So I will mention that Jonnu Smith has a touchdown in 2 of his last 3 games, and he had 6 catches for 44 yards yesterday. Yeah, if you're desperate for a tight end, I understand why you'd be adding him this week. That being said, Matthew, like, how can I say with great confidence that with Blaine Gabbert under center?
You certainly can't. But if you're in a super deep league, you lost Jimmy Graham, to your point. Like, if you're scrounging around, you don't have Kelsey next week, whatever. You're in a deeper league. It is worth noting that 5 of the final 6 games that the Titans play are against a defense that ranks in the bottom half of the NFL in terms of fantasy points and yards per catch against tight ends, 3 games against bottom 12 tight end defenses. So it is a favorable schedule coming up. But to your point, it's Blaine Gabbert or it's Marcus Mariota. Look, you know, I think I'm off the hook for the Mariota and Corey Davis hate calls. They were both on my love list this week, you know, because he gets hurt. He wasn't doing much up until that point, but I had to believe junk time was coming. Anyway, but regardless of any of that, it does seem like a mess here, and it's one of those just when you think you can trust them, they don't. And the same goes for Deion Lewis Field.
Yeah, I mean, just what he ended up with, 4.2 fantasy points. He had 11 touches yesterday, but super frustrating. A game that was an absolute blowout. Really, the story of this game was the Colts. T.Y. Hilton, massively efficient, 9 catches, 9 targets, 155 yards, 2 touchdowns. That works. Marlon Mack ran hard, found the end zone.
Here's a question for you guys, though. I have a question.
Rest of the season?
No, I was just going to ask you, what does Andrew Luck have to do to start, to get people to start him? Did you know his start percentage was under 50% in ESPN leagues?
Really?
Yeah.
That's surprising.
Including in the league.
You know what? I'm waiting for him to catch a touchdown, and then I'll start starting him.
I started him in a couple leagues.
You see that
some
yesterday?
Of us have caught on from the beginning.
Yeah, no, I know, but it's just, I just want to point out, one person who didn't start him is Daniel Dopp. Remember Daniel picked up 4 quarterbacks
against
me?
Yeah.
And he picked up 4
so
quarterbacks.
Choices, so
he
many.
Had Andrew Luck on his team.
Okay.
And
let's really quickly run through this decision-making process, all right? I go on to ESPN.com where a number of rankings are posted.
Yeah.
At number 7 is Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
At number 8 is Andrew Luck. I'm just going to say a prominent member of the fantasy staff. I won't point fingers.
Yeah.
So I just follow the advice that was given to me and the rest of America and play what was the higher ranked quarterback. So when you're asking, why did Daniel Dopp not play Andrew Luck? That's just the thought process behind why
Fair
I didn't
enough.
Make that decision.
Fair enough. And so a lot of people say hey, Matthew, while Daniel Dopp's playing checkers, you're playing chess. And that's right. So I apologize
you
to the rest
all
of America.
Of America so
that's
that
with
I would
my
play
rankings.
Him. Yes.
That you would play Fitzpatrick over Andrew Luck. And lose to me.
Totally
anyway,
worth it.
So,
totally worth it.
The effort really is what matters, Daniel, in this game.
Yeah. So anyway, fantasy karma bit Secret Squirrel in the butt there.
In
and
the tail.
So
it's a squirrel.
Well, whatever, sure. And his tail and his butt, wherever it bit him. The fact of the matter is that despite picking up all the quarterbacks available to him,
we got fact of the matter back in there.
He was not able to defeat me.
Eric Ebron yesterday. I can't wait. Did you forget to put him on the stat sheet?
Kyle? Oh, no.
What happened there?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just
Eric Ebron had zero catches yesterday.
Donut. Bagel.
That's right. A week after the Hasselbeck stardom against me as a last second, he gets like 29 fantasy points.
Nobody cares
he does
about
nothing.
Your fantasy team.
I don't care. I think it's clear at this point that I do this show entirely for myself. If anyone wants to tune in and listen and enjoy it, then go ahead. But this show is entirely about me.
You?
And yeah, obviously.
I think we know that.
Yep, pretty much. Look, this is what we expected, honestly. Like, I don't know that we expected zero, but he was playing less. He was running less routes. He was running, playing less snaps. I mean, last week was so fluky. Three touchdowns on four total touches.
Yeah. We tried to warn you.
Right.
America.
Tried to warn you. And hopefully, our piece of advice going into this weekend was if you could trade him for a startable wide receiver,
we
hope you did.
Right.
And I think for those that did, you were richly rewarded because I guarantee you that starting receiver, even if he was on a bye, still did the exact same for your lineup as Eric Ebron.
Did no worse. Yeah.
Zeros across the
Jack
board.
Doyle played as many snaps as Eric Ebron and Mo Alie-Cox combined.
Jack Doyle, the one that you want to be playing week to week.
You did math there.
Right. I did. I totally did. I'm a little Marlon Mack, five touchdowns now in four games, you know.
He's not your little anything. You didn't believe at the start of the season. So you were Mr. Nyheim Hines. I told you Marlon Mack would be good, and I told you that
this
the Colts
true.
Liked him.
I don't think that's true. Anyway, I don't know. I could be wrong on that one. I did like Nyheim Hines at the beginning of the season. That is 100% true. Mm-hmm.
Stefania, tell us about 23andMe.
I'd love to, Field.
Okay, thank you.
23andMe is named for the 23 pairs of chromosomes that make up our DNA. Remember when I shared that fun fact with you last week?
I thought that was about you and Field's relationship. Field, of course, being 23 and you being the me.
Yeah, not 23.
Correct.
Carrying on. 23andMe is a personal genetic service that helps you understand what your DNA can tell you about you and your family story. As your loved ones get together this Thanksgiving, discover more about the genetic connections you share. Did you inherit your hazel eyes from your mom or your dad? And how much is in your DNA compared to your brother or sisters? Well, that should stimulate some fun Thanksgiving conversation. The 23andMe Ancestry Service allows you to see how your DNA breaks out across over 150 regions worldwide. Trace parts of your ancestry to a specific group of individuals from over 1,000 years ago. Discover how much Neanderthal DNA you inherited. Matthew. Opt in and connect with DNA relatives.
I would think a lot.
And find other 23andMe customers who share your DNA and ancestors. It's easy to do. You simply spit into the tube provided in your 23andMe kit, register your sample to your personal 23andMe account, and in a few weeks, receive your personalized online reports. With 23andMe's Share and Compare tool, you can explore genetic similarities and differences between you and your relatives. Share reports with family and friends, even if they're not customers. Discover how much Neanderthal DNA you inherited, Matthew. You can even learn which traits your Neanderthal DNA is associated with, like height and back hair.
I want to know that one really badly.
See how your Neanderthal composition compares to other 23andMe customers. Now through Thanksgiving, 23andMe Ancestry Service kits are only $49 per kit when you buy two or more. That's 50% off the regular price of a kit of $99 this holiday. Order your 23andMe Ancestry Service kit at 23andMe.com/FFF. That's the number 2323andMe.com/FFF.
Very happy for my good friend, Daniel Dopp, because I love him dearly, and he had his birthday over the weekend.
He did.
He is part of the, you know, the real heart and soul of this show, and his team won on Sunday.
Yep.
Congratulations to
Shout
you, Daniel.
Out.
Thank
happy
you.
Happy birthday.
Appreciate it.
You got a nice birthday gift.
26 looks good on you, my friend.
When you say his team won, you mean his fantasy team? Because that's incorrect. His fantasy team did not win.
I do not know how his fantasy did, but I'm a fantasy
team. They lost.
I'm
they lost with Andrew Luck on his bench.
I'm assuming they won. I'm ignoring you because Daniel's team won 20-19.
I will
over
say
the Carolina Panthers.
It was really great for Matt Patricia to be able to pull out a victory for me. Still waiting for the second half of the birthday wish.
Oh, where he sends you.
Where they send me a signed
game-used
helmet plus a rousing speech at the end where they dedicate the victory to me and say that I was the reason behind why they got the win.
Probably on its way.
Daniel, don't ever count anything out. But the Lions win 20-19 over the Panthers. The story yesterday for the Panthers, though, was like, do we have a changing of the guard at wide receiver? I think that's going to be the question. DJ Moore, 7 for 157 and one touchdown on 8 targets. Devin Funchess, just 2 for 39 yesterday, but he got 8 targets. I don't think we're there yet, but Can I guess maybe the question might be this. Can you even trust Evan Fungus in your lineup anymore?
It's tough. I mean, some of this was, of course, Darius Slay covered. Some of it, frankly, to your point, like, guy just made some bad drops.
Huge drops.
Brutal.
Brutal. Had a touchdown he should have caught early. Yeah.
I mean, just, he was brutal. And so Cam suddenly said, you know who can catch? DJ Moore.
Right.
DJ Moore can catch.
Yeah.
Let me throw it to him. Trust in your lineups. Trust is a big word, Field Yates. And, yeah. No, I don't think. I think he is a shaky wide receiver three.
Right, right. Yeah, that's what I think he is, Matthew. I think that when we see a player who, on role alone, has the number one wide receiver job, and I'm actually reminded of this Carolina Panther and a former Carolina Panther. We'd say to ourselves, like, he's the number one wide receiver in an offense. But the reality is, sometimes being the number one wide receiver in an offense doesn't mean that you're necessarily fantasy trustworthy. We've seen it now with Devin Funchess. We've seen it now with Kelvin Benjamin in Buffalo. We saw it with any Cowboys wide receiver that was there prior to the Amari Cooper trade. So just being a number one wide receiver does not mean you can be trusted. DJ Moore, though, might have a chance to pique some people's interest. 7 for 157, as I mentioned. Daniel will note that much of the yardage came on a weird play where he probably should have been tackled early.
Should have been tackled by
80 yards.
A cornerback that has never been on a roster before. I have no idea who he actually was, and he misses a tackle. DJ Moore goes 82 yards downfield, gets caught from behind by Darius Slay. And by the way, on that same drive, Panthers could not get in the end zone, and then Graham Gano missed a field goal from like 30 yards.
Brutal this year.
Except for that.
Well, except for
the
19-point game.
I know, it's crazy.
I mean, yeah, so I kept trusting him, and then that didn't go well.
Anyway, Secret Squirrel feels like that corner that had never been on your team before. Maybe you should have practiced outside in the snow more.
That was probably what it was.
They just won the game. But DJ Moore will be on the waiver wire column this week. Yeah. I think the issue with Moore is still so he's exciting and he's talented. I think that we have realized that we've seen some of these flash talented wide receivers where we just want to see it a little bit more consistently before we advocate for them as like, yes, I'm starting you confidently. Like, you can still start DJ Moore because he's got upside and this is a very good offense. But, you know,
I'd imagine
going into this week, I will be very surprised if Devin Funchess is not the highest ranked Panthers wide receiver.
Yeah, I think he still is because you've still got Curtis Samuel there. You've still got Greg Olsen there. You've still got Christian McCaffrey. So many weapons in the passing game. And this ended up being a DJ Moore game. But to your point, a lot of it came on one big play and he catches the other touchdown as well. But, you know, we saw it. Like, he had that big game and then everyone thought he was going to explode against Tampa Bay and he didn't. It became a Curtis Samuel game. And so, credit to the Panthers and Ron Rivera and the entire staff and Norv and the entire staff over there because they've gotten the most out of everyone and they're finding different ways to get everyone involved. But for our purposes here in fantasy football world, it is hard to know sort of who to trust on a given basis with the exception of a few obvious ones. And so DJ Moore, in terms of rookie wide receivers, like, I prefer Traquan Smith for the rest of the season than DJ Moore.
Yeah, I'm with you as well.
As much as I like DJ Moore.
Just, I completely agree,
because I think there's less competition for targets.
Right.
You know, so. Exactly. Anyway, DJ Moore, obviously a very talented player, and listen, helped me beat Daniel. I'd like to point that out.
Kerryon Johnson
helped
the Lions beat the Panthers yesterday, but he's now injured, Stefania. He left that game, and that really bums me out.
Yeah, I know. He left late in the third quarter. You saw him going eventually into the locker room after they looked at him on the sideline. Looked like a left knee issue, and we're just waiting for an update on his status. But knowing that they play on Thursday, when a player goes out and they're ruled out immediately for that they're not going to return, you never like to see that. So I would think it would be tough for him to potentially return by Thursday.
Incredibly difficult waiver wire considerations for me here. Theo Riddick probably could be on the waiver wire column even when Kerryon Johnson is playing because of his pass catching acumen. He has been on the deeper league considerations. But Theo Riddick has one carry over like the last three games because he returned from an injury. But so somebody has to step up in this Lions backfield. I think the first look goes to LeGarrette Blount, Daniel. I think.
He looks so, unfortunately,
Let me ask you, let me do a little trivia. Matthew, I don't know if you heard this. LeGarrette Blount has 21 rushing attempts over the last four games.
Okay, yep.
How many rushing yards do you think he has on 21 rushing attempts?
23.
You are feeling quite generous this week. He has 15 rushing yards
on 21 attempts.
That's
not good.
Is that not good? That sounds bad. Math was never my strong suit.
On average, he is falling backwards. Literally. So, yes.
It used to not matter that he had those kind of stats because usually at least some of those positive gains were into the end zone.
Right.
But now they're not even that.
He averaged 5 inches a carry yesterday. 7 carries for 1 yard.
Matthew, I think you could do
5 inches a carry.
Stefania, is 5 inches good?
Next.
Moving along here.
I'm asking you a football question, Stefania. I'm asking a football question here.
So, I will say this. LeGarrette Blunt, I don't think it is.
I don't think it is. I'll answer the question for Stefania. I don't think 5 inches is good at all.
He looked very bad on Sunday. He looked slow. He looked like he couldn't decide which hole he wanted to run through it once he hit the offensive line. I would rather see Zach Zenner out there than continue to see LeGarrette Blunt.
I think he will see some Zach Zenner, obviously. Assuming and carry on can't go on Thanksgiving.
But if you had to add one, would you think that LeGarrette Blunt gets first crack at it? I would think, right?
I
don't know. I think.
I think they end up going more pass heavy. Preferably, I think I would prefer to add Theo Riddick.
I agree with that. I'm saying who has the best chance to carry the football? Yeah. I think it's LeGarrette Blunt, right?
Yeah, yes, I would think so. I would think it would be LeGarrette Blunt in terms of carrying the football, but I think you'd probably see some Theo Riddick. I think you'd see some Zach Zenner as well.
Yeah, and that's to make you not want to
touch against the Bears, like you're not
a brutal Bears defense that just held Dalvin Cook in check.
Exactly. Yeah. Like right. you don't want any of these.
He's
going to
Stafford's going to throw it 50 times.
All right.
He's going to try.
Thursday game, we'll preview it plenty more this week and talk about the waiver wire ads tomorrow. Cowboys.
But I will say, Theo Riddick, who's out there in a ton of leagues, who got 7 targets in this one. Yeah. I mean, and you think that matchup with the Bears and Marvin Jones, we may not see Marvin Jones on Thursday, Stefania.
I think it's pretty soon to expect him to come back after missing. We heard last thing we heard he was going for a second opinion.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like they've got Kenny Galladay and that's it. So, I mean, I think you see a ton. Especially against the Bears, a ton of checkdowns to Theo Riddick.
All right, let's get to the Cowboys, who get a 22-19 win over the Falcons. An impressive win on the road. Brett Maher gets a game-winning field goal as time expired.
And exhaled.
I gotta tell you what, that was a widely criticized move this offseason, cutting Dan Bailey in favor of Brett Maher. It's paid off. Smart move by the Cowboys, given the performance of both players. Zeke went crazy. The question, though, was, hey, is Dak Prescott in a really good spot? Because the Falcons had been atrocious since week one. The end result was 14.8 fantasy points. I got to tell you, though, 208 passing yards, 0 touchdowns, 5 rushing yards, saved by a rushing touchdown. But, Matthew, you're less discouraged than the numbers might suggest.
Think about this Falcons defense who, I have to be honest with you, right? I mean, so the Falcons, to me, I think are actually, you look at the season-long numbers and they're brutal, right? And they've been so bad. But then you look at, before Dallas, played Cleveland the week before, shut down the Redskins, which maybe not the toughest thing. Weeks 1 through 6, they were allowing 32 points per game. Okay.
Yep.
That was second worst in the NFL.
Right.
But since week 7, they're allowing just 21 points per game, 12th best in the NFL. Now, some of that, again, is schedule, right? So since week 7, they played the Giants, they had a bye, they played the Redskins, they played the Browns, they played the Cowboys. So they played some low octane offenses, right? So I think the schedule certainly helps that someone. But I also think there is a tendency in NFL to, we expect our defense to be this thing, right? And then we lose a bunch of guys. So now we have to adjust. And how do we game plan for an opponent without this guy or that guy or that guy? And it's a learning curve.
Yeah.
But I think Dan Quinn, who, I think sometimes people forget, is a defensive coach. That's, the side of the ball he came from. And so it's taken a while, and I think the Falcons are playing better defense. I'm not saying they're the monsters of the Midway or anything like that, but I don't think they're the joke they were earlier in the season, Field. And so I'm not as discouraged as you might be. I still think Dak is a viable streamer going forward. I still think Amari Cooper is a
matchup-dependent streamer, right?
Huh?
Matchup-dependent streamer.
Matchup-dependent streamer, borderline QB1, has the chance, I think, down the stretch here. And Amari Cooper is still kind of a borderline wide receiver too, based on his target share and everything like that. So a disappointing game, no question about it, but I'm not ready to completely bail on the Cowboys as viable pieces in fantasy.
Julio Jones has a touchdown in 3 straight games. That part is awesome. He's
so
unbelievable.
Fantastic.
Matt Ryan,
as you pointed out on Twitter, all he does is score touchdowns.
Pretty good tweet.
I thought that was a very good tweet, actually. I do think that was a very good tweet.
Matt Ryan, just 13.7 fantasy points, nearly 300 passing yards, though, yesterday. He's very good. This wasn't the touchdown day that they expected or hoped for out of Atlanta. I think the question may be this, though, is...
And by the way, about Matt Bryant? 17 fantasy points from a little Matt Bryant, baby. We talked
about
him.
Everybody your little something now?
Yeah, you know what? I take possession of them.
Cooper Kupp needs your support.
No, he is my little Cooper Kupp. Like, he is the first and always. He's the first and always.
If you call everybody baby, it stops being important to the one baby.
You're not my baby. How's that? Let me be clear about that. You know who's not my baby?
That's just mean. That's just.
It's not mean. It's true. I'm being
accurate.
Okay,
you're right. If it's true,
you're not my little Daniel
Dopp.
You're not my little secret squirrel. You're definitely not that. You're a guy I beat in fantasy this week is who you are.
Right.
You're just the most recent in a run of them.
Oh, there was a run? Because I thought you had lost five games before this. I don't think there was a run before me.
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting. Thank God I got to play you, and you're 1-19. Most points against.
Congratulations on beating a 1-9 team. Yeah. Let's keep bragging about that fact.
Yeah, all I know is you made massive trades. You traded for Mike Evans. You picked up four quarterbacks. You had all sorts of things. You did everything. You sent out a league-wide text to everyone in the league except for me. But, of course, people report back to me. You sent
out
a league-wide text.
I'm not going
to
trade with you.
I will trade all these guys that I have on bye next week. Just I have to beat Matthew. It's the only thing I care about is I have to beat Matthew. And did you beat Matthew? You did not beat Matthew. You lost to Matthew.
Say it with me. You just
I lost to Matthew. Go ahead. Just say it, Secret Scroll. Go ahead. I lost to Matthew.
I followed Matthew Berry's advice, and I lost at fantasy football.
Wow. I mean, how can you blame him for that, right?
That's so good.
For the Falcons.
A lot of people say my advice doesn't work. I disagree. It got me a W, baby.
Got you a W. That's right. For the Falcons, disappointing days for Mohamed Sanu, Ito Smith, Calvin Ridley. Right now, the only...
I do not want to know why you backed Ito Smith. Honestly,
I can't remember that part. That's weird.
Super weird.
Is that the whole misremembering thing?
Yeah, it might be.
44 is now the gap between Ito Smith and Tevin Coleman in our board bet. We need, I don't know.
60. It's 60. Yeah. Come on, Ito.
We're on pace here.
I need a couple of cheapo touchdowns here. Calvin Ridley, by the way, 155 receiving yards in 6 of 7 games since that blowout game against the Saints. So,
Bears. Hey,
he's just not getting the targets. We talked about this last week as well. Yep. He's just not getting the target share.
Bears are now 7-3. They look legit. Let's get to the Vikings, who fall 25-20. Massive day for Stephon Diggs. 13 for 126 on 18 targets. Oh. Adam Thielen, quote unquote, disappoints when he has 15.6 points, 7 catches, 66 yards, and a 2-point conversion.
These were so. I mean, if ever there was junk timey,
Kirk Cousins and Stephon Diggs. The stats do not tell the story. Basically, in this game, the stats don't tell the story.
There was nothing
that happened before the second half.
What did happen was Dalvin Cook just got nothing going at all yesterday for the Vikings. He was. He fumbled 9 for 12. It was a tough day at the office for Dalvin Cook, who I needed just 42 points from to win in the War Room League going into that game. I came just 40 points short.
You got two of the points. Unfortunately,
my season continues to be one to forget. Yeah. You got to figure, though, like much better days are ahead for Dalvin Cook. Starting next week against the Packers on Sunday Night Football, who are probably going to be without their best defensive lineman in Mike Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
For the Bears, this is a good story here. It's an underwhelming day offensively for everybody. No one scored more than 14.9 points here. And what was weird was, remember last week we talked about how Tariq Cohen played nearly the same number of snaps from week 4 to week 10 as Jordan Howard. Well, then Jordan Howard was the beast last night. He had 18 carries for 63 yards. Tariq Cohen had just 27 yards on 7 rushing attempts. Like, maybe Jordan Howard lives. Like, that, I don't know. Like,
but still, like, as far as the results, you got, you know, no touchdowns.
6 points for Cohen, 7.5 for Howard.
I think it's somewhat game plan and matchup dependent in terms of sort of it's both game flow and game and matchup dependent, like sort of how Matt Nagy wants to attack whatever defense he's seeing. And honestly, I mean, listen, they're 7-3, and I think one of the reasons why is that their offense sort of looks different week to week. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's obviously a lot of underlying principles, but like, hey, this is an Allen Robinson game. Hey, we're going to attack the middle of the field with Trey Burton. Hey, this is going to be a Tariq Cohen game. Hey, we're pounding the middle, you know, we're just pounding it up the middle with Jordan Howard. They're doing different things and they're mixing it up. And credit to Matt Nagy and his staff, because to your point, I mean, they're 7-3 and look every bit the part of a legit playoff team. But that, in terms of for our jobs, projecting things for fantasy, especially this backfield, becomes tougher.
Couple of things here. First of all, they have a quarterback who runs the football every single week. That's a lot of plays that are gone away. They've got two running backs that can carry the football. They got a lot of weapons. I mean, Trey Burton's a good player. He had one catch yesterday. That's disappointing. I'm just not sure what to tell you here, though. Like, it is a team that I think has more believers now than it did at any point during the season. But for fantasy football, it's going to be difficult to size up week to week. Quick break for us. We're coming right back to discuss. I'm sorry, Matthew. Washington Redskins.
You're in the 06010. Focus.
now a quick note from our ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week.
Hi, this is Rachel Tabo, the ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week. And I want to give a shout out to DJ Swearinger and the rest of the Redskins defense because I'm wishing for more hail this holiday season. HTTR, now back to the show.
Well done by Rachel there. Yep. Obviously a big fan of her Washington Redskins.
We have that in common.
Let's go to the Texans first here. They win 23-21, their seventh straight win. DeAndre Hopkins scores a touchdown. He's amazing. Lamar Miller gets you 13.8 points. He's steady as well. But Deshaun Watson becoming a question mark. We had this conversation on Fantasy Football Now yesterday. Like, are we so sure that Deshaun Watson needs to be a must start every single week? The answer is, like, I don't know.
Under 15 rushing yards in four of his past five games, has failed to account for multiple touchdowns in four of the past six. Listen, no more than 25 attempts in five straight games. You know, a lot of what fueled Deshaun Watson's historic run last year were a couple things, right? Was his rushing, obviously, and also the fact their defense was horrific last year. I mean, people forget like just how beat up it was. It was one of the worst defenses in the NFL last year,
yeah,
statistically speaking, because they were so beat up. And so Deshaun Watson got into all these shootouts. Well, and now they're all healthy. They got J.J. Watt back and Clowney. I mean, like, it's a good defense field.
It is a good defense, Matthew. There are some signs now that I think are a bit alarming, though, for Deshaun Watson because he's actually more efficient in terms of completion percentage, mm-hmm. and it's about the same number of yards per attempt as it was last year. But big plays were so much more regular last season, and maybe that was the Will Fuller effect. Maybe it was just some things that bounced his way last year. They aren't bouncing his way this year, but lower volume, and your defense is so good, as you pointed out, Matthew, that he may not need to throw five touchdowns or, heck, even three touchdowns in a given game for the Texans to win. He's got 18 touchdowns this season. Last year, obviously, injury cut short, he had 19. So more games played, fewer passing touchdowns.
It's interesting, though. The schedule gets a little bit better, although it's a bit up and down. Three straight home games.
Three at home, which is nice.
Which is nice, but it's the Titans, it's the Browns, it's the Colts. And so you feel good about starting at home against the Browns, but, Titans, you certainly don't feel like that's a great matchup, although it's probably helped if Gabbert is starting. So maybe some short field positions for Deshaun Watson. And the Colts. The Colts have been better defensively, but not, they ain't the Ravens.
We'll get into, yeah.
So yep. I think it's going to be hit or miss. My guess is, like, depending on the week, he's going to be somewhere in that 8 to 12 range, which
exactly.
is so...
Exactly where I feel, because you know the possibility of Deshaun Watson throwing five touchdowns exists more so than it does with other quarterbacks who will be comparably ranked. Demaryius Thomas had one target yesterday and zero catches. Like, what gives there, man? Like, they traded a pick for him. They gave him three catches in the first quarter his first week.
Well, it's scripted.
He had 2 weeks off. They had a bye week. That doesn't add up right there. It's weird.
It's really weird, and you have to figure that there's more of a connection here between Deshaun Watson and Kiki Cutie, who gets 9 targets in his return from injury, 5 for 77 there, and they were doing different things with Cutie. Like, it's not one of those things where he was covered well. Obviously, I watched this game closely, and like it just didn't even look, it didn't look like he was even part of the game plan.
Yep.
He wasn't the first or second read on a lot of throws, like
Just wasn't there,
and I don't know. It's interesting because, you know, Dan Graziano was reporting from this game on Fantasy Football Now, and he talked about the fact that when talking with some members of the Texans staff, they talked about how Cutie was faster than they thought. Like, that they thought coming out of college or when they drafted him that he could be, like, their version of Julian Edelman, just a slot receiver who could move the chains. And then as they've started to get him to know more and more, like, this kid is fast. And so Dan actually talked about this on the show Sunday morning about how they want to do more with Kiki Cutie, that they think there's a lot more to his game than initially they thought.
Yeah, 5 for 77 yesterday. Not bad.
I mean, right. And also, again, the 9 targets, especially with Josh Norman on DeAndre Hopkins for much of the game. So I think they sort of exploited where they thought they could. But when you hear them talking up Kiki Cutie and all the different things they want to do with him, it makes you think, like, Demaryius Thomas might just be a guy. And I can't imagine in a standard 10-team league starting him.
Just weird that Demaryius Thomas, like, they knew this about Cutie before they made the trade for Demaryius Thomas. Just sort of confusing. Let's get to Washington.
I guess you have to figure its depth, you know, because they lost Will Fuller and he was available.
It's an expensive depth there. Draft pick and a lot of money being paid. Yeah, I don't know. For whatever it's worth. Let's get to the Washington Redskins.
But you agree, just forget the NFL for a second, just fantasy-wise. Like, would either of you I mean, don't you think Thomas is welcome to Dumpsville? When would you feel comfortable starting Demaryius Thomas next?
Not until after I see that he's more of a part of the game plan.
Right.
Yeah. No, not now.
Yeah.
Probably
going to have to see it before
with QD
it, right?
Putting up that much volume in his first game back. That's a confidence builder in him, too.
And we just said about Deshaun Watson in terms of his volume hasn't needed to be there. So when you say limited volume here for Deshaun Watson in the passing game, and you've got, you know, Hopkins is going to get his, the highest target share in the NFL, and now QD's starting to get more and more, it's just how much is left over for Demaryius Thomas?
Heart aches this morning for Alex Smith, Stefania. I mean, it was an injury that we don't like to diagnose things in the moment, but you knew really bad the moment it happened.
It's one of these lower leg fractures. You see the foot basically going the wrong direction. Mm. That's a pretty good indicator that you have a severe injury. Fracture, tibia and fibula, the two bones in your lower leg, went for surgery right away. So Alex Smith, who's been a favorite, you know, 49er fans still really fond of Alex Smith, and by all accounts, just a great leader in his way with the team, that he was very popular with his new team in Washington. And you feel badly for him at his veteran age to have to go through a significant injury like this. So.
You saw both benches clear. I mean, like, it wasn't just all the Redskins players that came over, you know, a bunch of Texans as well. That's the kind of respect he has. You saw Patrick Mahomes, his former teammate, tweet at him as well. So it's devastating. And very, to your point, Stefania, very, very popular in Washington. And I mean, this is potentially a franchise altering injury. We're a fantasy football podcast. You guys know I'm a Redskins fan, but Alex Smith, to your point, Stefania, at his age, given the severity of this injury, I don't know that Alex Smith comes back from this. I'm sure he'll say all the right things, and I certainly hope, just as a human being, but that's a bad injury. And so if he doesn't come back, I mean, they're on the hook for a lot of money to Alex Smith, and so the Redskins are doing well this year. They're not going to have a draft pick. The only quarterback currently on the roster is Colt McCoy, and we'll talk about him in a second, but this is – they let Kirk Cousins go. I mean, I don't have to rehash all that, but, you know – and I thought they kind of bundled the Cousins thing, but they went all in on Alex Smith. And so this is not just a crippling injury for Alex Smith, but potentially one for the Redskins franchise as well. It will be interesting to see.
Yeah, the list of who they have they're bringing in for workouts, not exactly, you know, the Rolodex that would
blow
your mind.
I will say this. Cole McCoy can play football. Like, I said this in the war room.
Right, right. Talk about that.
For Colt McCoy and the fantasy value.
I literally said this in the, war room. We were all watching football and we saw that on, and, you know, the conversation was like, who's their backup? You know, people were asking. I said, it's Colt McCoy. And I said, that's not actually that much of a downgrade. Like, they like Colt McCoy quite a bit in Washington. He's been in Jay Gruden's system the whole time. He's been there for 5 years. And so he runs the system well. Honestly, I think some people felt like, you know, when he came in, there was a bit of a spark. Actually, he's more familiar with Gruden's system than Alex Smith is, and I think the feeling is that if Colt McCoy had more arm strength, he'd be a starter in the NFL. I don't think that given the offense that the Redskins have been running, which is or just the sort of the kind of team they run, which is we want to run the ball, we want to play good defense, we're going to use Tressway to punt ourselves into great field position. Tressway is having an unbelievable year. We never talk about punters on this show, but I just want to give a shout out because Tressway is having an unbelievable year. And so I think Colt McCoy can certainly do that. I do think this is, look, you weren't really starting any pass catchers in Washington as well. I will say, Field, I believe this is a little bit of a boon to the extent that anything like this can be for Jordan Reed's fantasy value.
Interesting. Yeah.
In his career, and it's all small sample size, but in his career, he's caught 80% of his targets from Colt McCoy, all the Redskins 68%. His target share with McCoy is 21%. I think he averaged double-digit fantasy points with McCoy as a starter. I think it's been only four games. So it's a small sample size, and it was a few years ago. But again, he's been in the system for a long time. He's not a guy with a big arm. He's more of a dink and dunker. So when you think about guys that can win matchups in close, that's Jordan Reed. You know, a guy that can get open, and so there's a familiarity there. I do think there's a small bump here for Jordan Reed, I should say, with Colt McCoy under center.
his best game of the season yesterday, by the way. Seven catches on 11 targets, 71 yards, and a touchdown. So,
and the touchdown did come with McCoy under center, and a lot of that came with...
It came quickly with McCoy under center. Yeah.
They play, of course, a critical game. I mean, all their games are critical at this point in the division. So they continue on with Colt McCoy as the
on
starter.
On Thursday, right?
Thursday. They are the second Thanksgiving game. They are at Dallas.
Not a ton of time to prepare.
No, not at all. Yeah. And literally, he's the only quarterback. Like, they're having in, like, Mark Sanchez and E.J. Manuel and a bunch of guys in there to, like, whoever the backup.
T.J. Yates, baby.
Huh?
T.J. Yates will be there.
Oh, T.J. Yates, cousin T.J.
Might have to skip out on Thanksgiving. We'll give him a pass.
Yeah, you know? So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see, because whoever is the backup to Colt McCoy on Thursday will have been with the team for 2 days.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it's brutal, awful. Yeah.
The Raiders get their second win of the season. 23-21 is the final over the Cardinals. And Raiders are a tough team to watch. And they have all these injuries now. Brandon LaFell had a touchdown, and then he gets hurt. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, so here's where we got into it's an Achilles injury, by the way, for Brandon LaFell. The number one wide receiver for the Raiders at the end of that game yesterday was Marcell Aitman. If you're saying to yourself, who is this guy? Seventh round pick this year for them. Elevated off the practice squad on Saturday. And deeper
welcome shout to Raiders,
out, shout out to Adam Schefter. You know, Adam and I always That's do right. our fantasy long shots on
his?
Sunday morning, and Adam Schefter's fantasy long shot was Marcell Aitman on Sunday morning on Sunday NFL
Could've
Countdown.
Nine
and
fantasy
we do a,
points.
Yeah, we do a whatever. We do a joint broadcast between Fantasy Football Now and Sunday NFL Countdown, where we do a little bit of a fantasy segment that airs on both shows simultaneously. And so myself and Adam and Mort do fantasy long shots. And yesterday, Adams was Marcell Aitman, so nice call there by Shefty, a guy that most people I don't think had heard of until yesterday.
The Raiders play next week. Who do they play? They play the Chargers
Baltimore
next week.
Ravens.
I'm sorry, they play the Ravens next week. Excuse me
Baltimore.
On that. We'll see if Doug Martin's available. We'll get more information on Martin probably today.
I will say this, Michael Gelkin, who writes for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, who used to cover the Chargers, does a great job.
Yes, he's a great beat reporter.
Wrote about Doug Martin saying that he was to undergo further evaluation Monday, today, after tweaking his ankle. And the quote from Martin was, "I thought it was going to be one of those tweak it and just run on it and be back good again, but it just kept lingering." Martin out the second half without any formal announcement that I could see from the Raiders. So I think this would be interesting, because teams are supposed to tell you if a guy's injured, but he didn't play the second half, so we thought there was something going on. Turns out it's an ankle issue that is going to be further evaluated.
All right, DeAndre Washington had 12 carries yesterday. Jalen Richard, who finally crossed the 50% roster percentage to make him ineligible for the waiver wire column, also handled 10 carries. The Cardinals, it's going to be a tough 2018, but I like the future of this offense with David Johnson, Christian Kirk, and Josh Rosen under center. I understand that Larry Fitzgerald is also an awesome player, but I don't think we all believe he's going to be there for five more seasons.
No,
right?
Kirk made a superb catch, though, by the way.
Really,
really nice. I mean, the kid's got potential.
Continued good work for David Johnson. 25 rushes, 137 yards. He had one catch yesterday. Fitz gets saved, two catches, 23 yards, but two touchdowns, so that works. It's better with Byron Leftwich. I don't think that all of the ails have been cured for Larry Fitzgerald, but it's better for him. And David Johnson, I think, remains locked in as an RB1 for this roster.
And I just want to say about Christian Kirk or Larry Fitzgerald, any of these guys, with the trade deadline, the ESPN fantasy trade deadline is Wednesday at noon.
Yeah.
And so I do think these guys are all, to varying degrees, trade targets, because you think about Larry Fitzgerald for a second, right?
Yep.
Look at their upcoming schedule. At the Chargers this week, they struggle against the slot, right? So then at Green Bay, Detroit, at Atlanta, home to the Rams. Like, it's a nice schedule there. And even though we said that, you know, listen, the Falcons have played better defense, and they'll be even healthier in week 15 when they play, I think this is a nice little schedule for when you think about these teams, and like, none of them really defend the run that well. So David Johnson, and none of them really defend the slot that well. So I think Larry Fitzgerald as well. And Christian Kirk is just out there in a bunch of leagues.
Mike Evans and the Buccaneers remain one of the most uniquely entertaining teams this season. They lose 38-35.
That's the nicest,
uniquely entertaining.
Was well done, Field Yates.
38-35 was the final score yesterday to the Giants. And I wanted to start with Mike Evans.
By the way, that should be my, if I ever write a biography, that should be my title.
Entertaining?
Uniquely entertaining.
How many more books do you have to write about yourself?
Yeah, a couple, I think. I got five kids to put through college.
Okay, Mike Evans.
Yeah, I got to hustle.
The reason why I mentioned Mike Evans, we got a ton of questions from people saying, hey, are you going to count his fumble recovery touchdown for points?
That was weird.
Yes, you are. And we have already. Yeah. Mike Evans has 30 fantasy points after six catches, 120 yards, a touchdown, plus a fumble recovery for a touchdown. But, I mean, how can you possibly trust?
So ridiculous.
Trust,
Secret Squirrel got that, and yet still fell short. I just like to point out that even though your guy fell on the ball in the end zone, like the most BS touchdown of all time, he still fell short.
I don't know how you could possibly.
That has to be karma. I have to feel that's karma. Go ahead.
I don't know how you could possibly trust a Buccaneers quarterback as Jameis Winston was inserted for Ryan Fitzpatrick at halftime yesterday, or maybe it was some point in the third quarter. Fitzpatrick throws three interceptions. Jameis Winston comes in. Heck, if you started Jameis Winston by accident, it actually worked out for you. 15.6 fantasy points, two touchdowns, 199 passing yards, plus a pick for him. I put him on the waiver wire, Colin. Yeah. You know, for a week, like, if you're going to start a Buccaneers quarterback, it has to be done almost weeks, you know, week at a time, because if you...
That's what Dirk Cutter says.
Right? Like, that's how they operate right now. And whoever's a starting quarterback this week, Stefania, we don't know if they'll have their best tight end, because O.J. Howard got banged up yesterday.
I know, and he one of the few fantasy bright spots consistently for the Buccaneers, injured in the fourth quarter, and reported right away as doubtful to return. Never a good sign. So it sounds like it's an ankle injury, and... We're just going to have to sit tight and wait for what they update us with this week.
Hey, if you went with Eli Manning, it's that week 11 streaming quarterback option. It worked out in your favor. 17.1 points here. He was awesome.
Eli's on a tear. San Francisco and Tampa Bay.
Before we move on, very quickly, I just want to mention Peyton Barber, very quietly, averaging over 4.6 yards per carry over his last four. Another nice game here. Thought he ran hard against the Redskins in a tough Redskins defense here. He's available in, I don't know, about 40% of leagues, and so probably not enough to make your waiver wire column.
Right.
But
yeah.
I just think, again, in playing the 49ers, like I just think, like potentially a useful flex. He was a guy that got stronger as the year went on last year, finished strong down the stretch. So just want to point that out that, you know, all of a sudden Peyton Barber very quietly starting to play some good football here.
Eli Manning, the subject of last week's detail by Peyton Manning on ESPN Plus, which was very good. 17 for 18, 231 yards and two touchdowns. Saquon Barkley, 35.2 fantasy points. Odell Beckham Jr., he found the end zone again yesterday. This was a question posed. Like, Evan Ingram had 8.6 fantasy points yesterday. Like, tight end's so thin, you may not have a choice. Drop him, keep him. Where are we at on Evan Ingram here?
In a standard 10-team league, he's absolutely droppable. Like, the volume isn't there. Like, if he couldn't do it against Tampa Bay,
yeah.
If he couldn't do it against the 49ers, like, when is he ever going to do it? I mean, like, and they've had opportunities. Like, so you look at it and you're like, 8 points. Okay, that's not bad. It was basically one big play.
It was one big 54-yard catch. Yeah.
Right.
That's,
and then
against the 49ers.
That's,
it was the same
thing.
What it
was. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And look, he could have had an even bigger game. Like, he ran against the 49ers. He ran a seam route, that he had a step. And if Eli hits him in stride, that's six. And that's like a 12-point play. So they'll take a couple of shots, but you just think about Barkley and Beckham, and there's just not enough. Kind of love to go around, especially given the inefficient play of Eli these days. So in a redraft league, a 10-team redraft league, no, I can't imagine.
Who are you dropping him for then? I mean, that's my question, because the tight end waiver wire is so barren.
It's so thin.
Like, it's hard to say you're dropping him for someone specifically. It's maybe if you'd been using him as your flex option because you already had Gronk or Zach Ertz. And
like Jonnu Smith, like, is he somebody that you like more than?
No, I prefer Evan Ingram. We could play a name game, or we could do it tomorrow if you want for tight ends the rest of the season. But like, so I have Evan Ingram in a league. It's a 16-team league, so I'm sort of stuck with him. But like, I have him and Doyle. Like, if that were in a 10-team league, I would drop him and just roll. I would drop him for help in another position and just roll with Doyle. Whereas before, you might have said, like, well, I can't drop Evan Ingram. He's Evan Ingram. And so I think all we're just saying is that we don't think he is somebody that must be rostered in a 10-team league.
Right.
Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by ZipRecruiter, our good friends. And picking a kicker in the second round, fantasy or real life, not smart. But you know what else isn't smart? Job sites that overwhelm you with tons of the wrong resumes. Using ZipRecruiter to help you find qualified candidates for your business, that is smart. And like unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't wait for candidates to find you. ZipRecruiter finds them for you, like I find the waiver wire finds each week for you. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and then actively invites them to apply, so you get qualified candidates fast, like 4-3-40 fast. No wonder ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S., and that's based on hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. Visit ZipRecruiter.com/06010 today.
ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010.
And this is your last chance to be able to get your submission for the ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week in, because we are doing that on Tuesday this week, with it being the Thanksgiving weekend. Question is, if you could take any member of the 06010 home with you to Thanksgiving dinner with your family, who are you choosing and why?
Mm. Oh.
Yeah, we know the answer. Yeah. It's all about who has the best submission for why I am the answer.
Yeah.
Get to the Eagles.
Honestly, I think even I'd vote for Field, yeah, to be honest. Like, although you could, you know, like, you don't want to bring Thirsty Kyle. He'd be out of drinks.
And you don't want to bring Not Cool Keith, because they're going to be like, look at this dud over here.
Yeah, he's not cool. Not cool. You don't want to bring Secret Squirrel, because you'll be like, hey, yo.
He would just take all the like food all the stash it away.
Right.
Yeah.
Stuffing all the rolls in my pockets.
Yeah,
hair got in the turkey or something.
Beard
hair.
And then if we brought you, they would be like, oh, that's so sweet. You brought someone from the senior center. Right. You were such a good person.
Exactly.
Do something good this week. Yeah.
That's right. Fair.
The Saints continue to roll. They are an absolute beast right now. They are now 9-1 after a 48-7 dismantling of the Philadelphia Eagles. There was one glimmer of hope yesterday. One. For the Philadelphia Eagles. His name is Josh Adams. 7 for 53 and a touchdown. 3 catches, 19 yards, 6 targets. I did not think, I'll be the first to say, I did not think the Eagles would turn this into a non-committee that fast.
To be honest, nobody here has talked about Josh Adams.
Stop.
I think Daniel did at one point, right?
I did mention I really like Josh Adams quite a bit.
That's a great point. Yeah.
All of you, stop it. Yeah. There is videotape and there is audio tape proof of my Josh Adams from a couple weeks ago, honestly. And so, yeah, you and I had a debate about this.
He played more than twice as many snaps yesterday than any other Eagles running back.
And finished atop the stat pile.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
For fantasy.
Well, listen, you guys, I had him at 25 running. We had this debate during the rankings thing. I had him at 25, and you were like, why do you have him so high? And I said, I think he gets into the end zone in this one. He did, in fact, get into the end zone.
Yeah.
So that worked out.
So Josh Adams is a legitimate waiver wire pickup. He might be, I think there's a case for him as the number one waiver wire pickup. Sure. And the reason against Lamar Jackson's number one is twofold, right? Like, one, as much logic as there is behind starting Lamar Jackson going forward, football coaches are stubborn and sometimes do weird things.
Sure.
Like, the Lamar Jackson thing could be over as soon as this week. I'm not saying it will be, but it could be.
And there's more ball, and there's more need at running back than there is at quarterback. Sure, I get all that.
You have exactly sized it up. So, for the Saints, the one story here that's out of the ordinary, because everything is great otherwise, right? Like Drew Brees, Mark Ingram, Mike
like
Thomas,
everyone
Alvin Kamara.
By the
way, before we move off Philadelphia, I think we think this is just one of those games, right? We're not worried about, listen, the offense definitely looks a little bit out of sync, and this is a butt whooping, but my expectation is that, you know, Wentz and Alshon Jeffrey and Zach Ertz will be just fine, especially given next week at home against the Giants.
I'm with you on that. But for the Saints, the revelation yesterday was Traquan Smith, who, hey, he had 0 targets last week. So during fantasy football now, the question was to be like, yeah, are you super trustworthy of Traquan Smith? And it's like,
no.
I don't know how you're supposed to be. He had 0 targets last week.
But he had played almost all the snaps. He had run a route on almost all of them. And so,
I was a little bit more into the depths of.
No, I understand.
Yeah, we all liked him. I mean, I had him ranked. Like, it was like, it's like, hey, but like.
But we discussed him. I think I was a little bit more bullish than you, but we were, there was certainly, a question about the fact that he wasn't getting nearly the targets that you would hope. But we've always liked his talent, and we've always certainly liked his role in this offense as the number two wide receiver.
And what we're hopeful for, by the way, is we hope that this is a sign of things to come.
Yeah.
Because he's had productive games before. Not as much as yesterday, but we hope the Saints say, you know something? We got to get this guy weekly targets, which may be easier said than done because they have so many mouths to feed as it is. Mike
Drew Brees
Thomas
has so many options.
Traquan Smith should be added in all leagues. The Broncos get a very surprising win yesterday, 23-22 over the Chargers. We thought the Chargers had turned that corner, maybe not so much. Philip Lindsay is just a tremendous story. 79
great
rushing
story.
Yards, two
so
touchdowns,
and
26.6 fantasy points.
He is. There's a couple plays that he made where he's like, I'm getting the first down.
Yep.
Like, shoulder down, moved it. There is no, to the eye test, there is no question who is the dominant running back there.
One of the best stories in the NFL this year, the undrafted rookie out of Colorado, making his way onto the local team, the Broncos, and just absolutely crushing it.
That said, though, Royce Freeman back from the injury and does,
he gets one short yardage carry and scores, falls into the end zone. So
but, yeah, Lindsey outsnaps Freeman 29-12. Yeah, and yes. I think that's right.
Yeah, I think that's about how it'll shake out going forward.
Courtland Sutton gets 3 for 78 yesterday. Like, I don't want to tell you that I'm disappointed, right? Like, a lot of it came on that very final play that set them up for a game-winning field goal. So, like, we thought he was like a top 30-ish option at wide receiver.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, he's
maybe a little bit more.
He's deep play dependent. Listen, he was going against a Chargers team that's good against the deep pass. He was shadowed by Casey Hayward in a decent amount this game. And so, who's, you know, a very good corner. I think better days are ahead for Courtland Sutton.
Chargers, pretty chalky.
I was going to say, can we just talk about Emmanuel Sanders for a second, though?
Because we can do whatever you want.
Well, because as somebody who has Emmanuel Sanders on a few rosters, this has been a disturbing trend that the last couple of weeks he's been so deficient as far as fantasy points when he looked like he was their go-to guy. And then they removed Demaryius Thomas from the equation, and you think, clearly, Sanders is going to be the featured receiver in this, and just disappointing outing yet again. What do you do with Emmanuel Sanders?
I think you probably have to keep plugging
just
along.
Just keep rolling
right?
him out.
56 on 6 targets. It's not great there, but remember, like, maybe a month or so ago, people were like, why are you not ranking Emmanuel Sanders as, like, a top-5 wide receiver, when at that time he was a top-5 wide receiver by points? Just the target share wasn't as significant as a guy like DeAndre Hopkins or even, you know, other, you know, Mike Evans, who's had a couple of up and down weeks in the end or this season. So Emmanuel Sanders still going to be a top 20 or so play, but a little bit disappointing yesterday. The Chargers were disappointing in real football because of the fact that they lost, but fantasy wise, it's the same cast of characters. Keenan Allen, hello, second straight week with a touchdown. Melvin Gordon, 21.6 points. Phillip Rivers threw for 401 yards, two touchdowns, two bad picks yesterday.
But that's Phillip Rivers.
Every once in a while, he has one of those moments. Antonio Gates, 5 for 80 and a touchdown. Nothing to say about that. Like, I don't know that anybody's rushing to the waiver wire to grab Antonio Gates, but it was just cool to see. Old guys rule.
Nice for him.
Yeah. Sort of paying homage to
Matthew. I
agree. Right.
Old guys rule.
Last game, Pittsburgh Steelers win 20-16.
God,
unbelievable late effort from the Steelers.
Gosh.
Heroics from Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown. It was like three quarters of complete disaster offense for the most part. And then all
of
a sudden,
got it together. It was the weirdest thing.
I will say this one was a sort of annoying game for this one reason.
Yeah.
And it's entirely just for me, but like, so, you know, my love-hate list.
Yep.
Right? I do it by projections, you know, so I look at the ESPN projections and I pick who I think will be higher or lower and I, you know, give my analysis for it. And so I had Ben under his projection and I was looking very smart for much of this game.
Even the Antonio, like, there were some Antonio Brown people that were freaking out.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And he had nothing
and
going.
Juju and, right. And,
nobody.
And still James Conner. I got a bunch of angry James Conner people. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. No one's allowed to complain if you have James Conner on your team. Stop it. You were playing with house money and you have been
and
since
James
like week
Conner
three.
And James Conner got you where you are. So
yeah.
Let's
no one's allowed to complain if you have James Conner on your team. But, anyway, that last second rushing touchdown by Ben put him over his projected points. So it was a loss for me, if you will, on the hate list. So annoying because, like, game should have been over, but then the penalty, just bad penalty, and just,
here are the Jaguars that are worth your time in fantasy football. Leonard Fournette, that's it. 28 for 95 with the touchdown, 2 catches for 46 yards. Tell you what now, though,
and
that Jaguars
way,
team is interesting going forward.
If you were thinking that they might adjust the volume on him after the injury that caused him to miss so much time, and we said, don't worry because the volume's going to still come back to him. Don't worry, because the volume's going to still come back to him.
Come back in a major way.
28 rushes, 28 carries.
They're getting the most. They're getting the most utility out of Leonard Fournette while they can. Just 8 rushes yesterday for Carlos Hyde. I tell you what, that's a team that has me concerned right now.
Sure.
5 straight losses, I believe, for the Jaguars. Yeah. They got to get their act together in a hurry. They're probably out of that division race. Leonard Fournette, though, for fantasy purposes, the only one you can trust. All right. What do you got, Daniel?
I got a quick update on Pigskin Pick'em. We'll go through really quickly.
Oh, gosh, no.
This week was a really brutal week for everybody.
Everyone.
Yeah. Everyone.
It was horrible. I saw a lot of red when I checked it.
Nelly?
I came in first with 5 correct answers.
Oh,
5. Matthew, Field, Thirsty, Kyle, and Stefania all had 4 correct answers.
Wow.
Not Cool Keith had 3.
Wow.
And so, how many of us have the same teams tonight? Where are we in tonight?
I took the Chiefs, right? With the Field. You two both took the Rams.
I took the Chiefs, so be scared.
Rams.
All right, so we're split 50-50 on that. Matthew is up 82 total for the year. I've got 80, same with Not Cool Keith with 80. Fields got 76, Thirsty Kyle has 75, and Stefania has 74. So everyone is right there in it.
I have every Thursday night game because I keep forgetting to put them in.
I just want to say this.
What do you know? Just like that, my wife is calling.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Only reason I got five is because I took the Lions on my birthday, and all you haters took the Panthers. So, you know what?
You deserve it, buddy.
You know what? Happy birthday.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry I had to beat you down. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to crush you like a grape.
At least you know.
Daniel Dopp, the best. We are back on Tuesday recapping the game we cannot wait for tonight.
Oh yeah.
Rams going to be unbelievable. Get your popcorn ready.
What if you don't eat popcorn? What should you get ready, Stefania?
Maybe some chips and salsa. Cucumber sandwiches.
You can do that too.
Trail mix.
Waiver wire ads and the usual Tuesday show. We'll get a little bit more jam-packed in there because, of course, we have just three shows this week. Wednesday, we're previewing games as best we can leading into the holiday weekend. Talk to you soon.
Download the Fantasy Life app. Do that. It is free. The alerts absolutely crush. And check out the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus later today. I'm at Matthew Berry, TMR, on all forms of social media except the Fantasy Life app, where you can find me at Matthew Berry. She's Stefania B87 on the IG and at Stefania _ESPN on Twitter. He's at Field Yates everywhere.
Royalty.
Peace out.
You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle. In case you didn't know, Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me, because I don't think you could.
Jailbait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Berry convert you.
Secret squirrel, Daniel Dunn.
Make it happen.
Mediocre fan.